This is Akashwani. A review of today's Parliament proceedings read by R.S. Raghu. First, from the Lok Sabha. Writer is Anjali Ojha of PTI. Lok Sabha proceedings were once again disrupted today as opposition members continued protest over the police action against students protesting NEET paper leak and the Ram Temple donation set. This prevented the House from taking up the questioner. Soon after the House met at 11 a.m, Speaker Om Birla congratulated Indian athletes for their performance at the Glasgow Commonwealth Games, noting that women athletes had won 8 gold medals. He also said the 2030 Commonwealth Games will be held in Ahmedabad. As Birla called the first listed question for oral reply, opposition MPs began raising slogans, prompting him to question whether they came to the House with the intention of disrupting proceedings. Urging the opposition MPs to resume to proceedings of the House, Speaker Om Birla questioned if they are doing it deliberately, stressing that the House is for debates and discussion. The Speaker said, "Even if there is disagreement, it should be expressed through debate." With the protests continuing, the Speaker adjourned the House till noon. Since the session began on 20th of July, the Lok Sabha has not been able to transact the question hour on any day as proceedings have repeatedly been disrupted within minutes of the House assembling. As the House met again at noon after the first adjournment, two bills were introduced amidst sloganeering by opposition members, Indian Statistical Institute Bill 2026 and the Bankers' Books Evidence Bill 2026. The Bankers' Books Evidence Act 2026, which will repeal and replace the Bankers' Books Evidence Act 1891, was introduced by Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman in the Lok Sabha. It will replace British-era legislation with the objective to include digital and virtual records as admissible evidence in a court of law in sync with the digital dependence of the banking system. The statement of objects and reasons of the bill said, "With the advancement of technology and growth of digital banking, bank records are increasingly created, stored, and maintained using digital technology instead of physical record. It has therefore become necessary to modernize and strengthen the existing legal framework to meet the requirements of the present banking system." The bill proposes to expand the scope of the definition of bankers' books to include all forms of records maintained by banks, whether in physical, electronic, digital, virtual, cloud-based, or in any other form, thereby providing a comprehensive, technology-neutral, and future-ready legal framework, it said. It proposes to provide for standardized certificate formats and authentication by manual or digital or electronic signature, and to expressly recognize admissibility of electronic bank records and permit their production in either physical or electronic form. It is also going to empower the central government to extend applicability of the proposed legislation to any entity or class of entities operating in the financial sector subject to certain conditions, it said. The bill seeks to define the expression "special cause" for which a court may, by order in writing, compel an officer of the bank to produce any banker's books or to appear as witness to prove matters, transactions, or accounts in any legal proceeding where the bank is not a party. The Bankers' Books Evidence Act 1891 was enacted during the pre-independence era to facilitate the use of certified copies of bank records as evidence in legal proceedings without requiring production of the original records. The Act was enacted at a time when banking records were predominantly maintained in physical form. The Indian Statistical Institute Bill 2026, introduced by Union Minister Rao Inderjeet Singh, will widen the remit of the ISI and align its legal framework with evolving needs. The bill seeks the institute's incorporation as a body corporate to strengthen its governance, promote academic excellence and research, and allow it to serve the emerging needs in the field of statistics and allied fields. The bill says the President of India will be the visitor of the institute, and provisions for a board of governors that will be its principal policy executive body. The board will be accountable to the central government, the bill notes. The institute will have an academic council which will act as its principal academic body and will be headed by the institute's director. All full-time professors and full-time faculty members will be members of the academic council. The Indian Statistical Institute Act 1959 declared the institute to be an institution of national importance and empowered it to grant degrees and diplomas in statistics. The act was amended in 1995 to empower the institute to grant degrees and diplomas in statistics, mathematics, quantitative economics, computer science, and such other subjects related to statistics as may be determined by it. From time to time, the 1959 Act, according to the bill, has limited provisions in respect of the governance, administration, finance, accountability, and functioning of the institute and is not adequate to enable it to respond to the requirements of an evolving academic and research environment. Therefore, it says, the government decided to repeal the Indian Statistical Institute Act 1959 to bring out comprehensive legislation providing for the incorporation of the Indian Statistical Institute, an institution of national importance, to excel as a globally recognized center in statistical sciences and allied fields. The legal reform will enable an ecosystem to train a new generation of high-quality data scientists and statisticians, bridging the massive talent gap currently facing India's tech and financial sectors, the bill says. As the bills were moved for introduction, opposition members had given notices to oppose the draft laws at the introduction stage. But since none of the opposition members spoke, the bills were introduced by a voice vote. The chair reminded the opposition members that names of those who had given notices to oppose the bills were announced, but nobody spoke. He also pointed out that holding placards and shouting slogans were against the parliamentary norms. The House was then adjourned till 2 p.m. When the House met again at 2 p.m., Union Law Minister Arjun Ram Meghwal moved the Supreme Court Number of Judges Amendment Bill 2026. It will replace an ordinance which increased the number of Supreme Court judges from 34 to 38, including Chief Justice of India. Moving the bill in the Lok Sabha, Meghwal said it is an important bill relating to the judiciary. Meghwal said, in the visionary leadership of Prime Minister Narendra Modi, India has imbibed the idea of reform, perform and transform. He said the bill is important for judicial reforms and increases the number of judges in the Supreme Court. After a brief introductory remark made by the Union Law Minister, the chair urged the members to speak on the statutory resolution, but as sloganeering continued, the bill was put to vote and subsequently cleared. A statutory resolution moved by the opposition members denouncing the promulgation of the ordinance was also rejected by a voice vote. Last week, a bill to amend the births and deaths registration was also cleared without a debate. According to the text of the Supreme Court Number of Judges Amendment Bill 2026, volume of litigation of cases in the Supreme Court of India has constantly been on the rise due to persistent gap between institution and final disposal of cases in the court. As on the 1st of January 2026, there were 92,101 cases pending in the Supreme Court, even while working at near full sanctioned capacity of 34 judges since 2019. The Supreme Court recorded an institution of 75,410 fresh matters in 2025 against a disposal of 65,615 cases, which highlights the ongoing challenge of managing the docket, particularly in relation to older pending cases and those necessitating the attention and adjudication by a larger bench. It said, the increase in the strength of judges of the Supreme Court is one of the most exigent and viable solutions for tackling the pending backlog of cases in the apex court. It will also make it possible for Chief Justice of India to constitute constitutional benches for a required period of days on a regular basis to hear cases involving substantial question of law. And now a review of proceedings in the Rajya Sabha. Writer is Sanjeev Chopra of PTI. The highlight of the proceedings in the Rajya Sabha was the passage of the Micro, Small and Medium Enterprises Development Amendment Bill 2026 that seeks to empower courts to order payment of at least 50% of the awarded amount to MSME suppliers in a case a plea to set aside an order is pending for over 6 months. The bill was passed with a voice vote after the amendments moved by the opposition were negated. The Rajya Sabha earlier saw an adjournment till 2 p.m. Soon after the laying of papers after the House met for the day, opposition members created uproar over the issues of police action on students and the Ram Temple donations theft. DMK members also sought to raise the issue of Kaveri waters. When the House met after lunch, the MSME Amendment Bill 2026 was passed amid the din caused by opposition members. The upper house was adjourned for the day soon after the passage of the bill. The bill seeks to tackle the issue of delayed payments to MSMEs by prescribing timelines to ensure faster adjudication of disputes, provide recovery of the settlement agreement and address their liquidity issues. Replying to the discussion on the bill, Union Minister for MSME Jeetan Ram Manjhi outlined the advantages of the proposed legislation for the sector and various sections of society, expressing dismay at the loud protests by opposition members. Referring to the opposition protests, the minister said one expected the opposition to support, cooperate and pass this bill, but said they are opposing it. The bill seeks to address the current challenges faced by the MSME sector by improving the administrative structure and facilitating payment mechanisms, the minister said. Manjhi said the objective of the bill is to balance the interests of all concerned parties while maintaining constitutional principles and the interests of the businesses. He also reassured the House that the government is committed to the development of the MSME sector. Describing the MSME sector as the backbone of the country, he said it contributes significantly to the country's manufacturing and exports. He outlined that MSMEs contribute 31% to India's GDP, 36% to the country's manufacturing and 41% to its exports. The minister said the outstanding credit disbursed to MSMEs, which stood at 10 lakh crore rupees in 2014-15, has today increased to over rupees 38.35 lakh crore, implying that the credit flow to MSMEs is rising steadily. The MSME ministry is committed to make champion MSMEs, the minister asserted. Soon after the passage of the bill amid the din, leader of the House, JP Nadda, said he wanted to highlight that the opposition members have not even supported the amendments moved by their party on the bill. Trouble began even before the discussion started when leader of opposition Mallikarjun Kharge was not permitted to speak, prompting the entire opposition to raise the issue. As the bill had been taken up for consideration and passage, Deputy Chairman Harivansh called Congress MP Ajay Makan to speak on the bill. Makan protested that the LOP was being denied a chance to speak and said this has never happened in the past. Nadda, however, objected to this, saying Makan has not spoken a single sentence on the bill and urged the chair that his remarks be expunged. Makan subsequently turned to the bill alleging discrimination between big corporates and MSMEs before again attempting to raise the protest issue. At this, Parliamentary Affairs Minister Kiran Rijiju objected, saying Makan was trying to lower the dignity of the House, despite being given several opportunities to speak. Sumitra Balmik of BJP said the poor were suppressed under Congress rule and that the Modi government is bringing them into the mainstream. Dola Sen, TMC, began speaking on how the MSME sector could address unemployment but veered to demand that the Union Home Minister respond on the law and order situation, saying no one is safe. Santripta Mishra, BJT, sought better cash flow support, central agency assistance during formalization and coordinated GST and trade discounting platforms for MSMEs. Supporting the bill, Mustan Rao Yadav Bida, TDP, and Naveen Chandra Vaddiraju, BRS, said it will further empower the sector. Golla Babu Rao, YSRCP, sought a PLI scheme for MSMEs, while M. Thambidurai, AIADMK, urged financial and infrastructure support for states. Rajendra Heeralal Jain, NCP, said the opposition would support the bill if they listened to it carefully. Sanjay Seth, BJP, accused Congress of neglecting the MSME sector and misleading youth. from Moth Boro UPPL supported the bill and sought credit-linked relief during natural calamities, while Ramji Lal Suman BSP suggested restricting factories on fertile land and permitting MSMEs to produce ethanol for petrol blending. That's all in Parliament Review.